Chapter 81. Gavin squared his shoulders and confronted his accusers, a hallway in the Travertine Palace. It wasn't exactly where he would have picked to die, but he supposed it was better than some dungeon somewhere. Better than I gave you, Gavin. At least he could face this with dignity.
What do you want? He demanded.
We know what you're doing,
Osef Tep said.
Sir.
The sir was belated. It always was with the purple bear. Samilla Sire came forward, put a hand on Usef's meaty arm.
We've come together to stop you, Gavin Gile.
And how do you propose to do that? Gavin asked.
By volunteering.
Huh? Gavin tottered on the edge of drafting everything he could. Stopped. Tried to keep his idiot perplexity off his face.
It's noble, Lord Prism, but it's not wise.
What? Well, sometimes when you don't know what the hell someone's talking about, the best thing to do is play along.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Gavin said.
Oops.
The freeing is the holiest moment in a drafter's life, Samilla said. You're trying to protect that for us, and we thank you for that. But we're warriors. All of us fought in the war. We're willing to fight again.
I die this day, Usef said. It's my duty to make an end, and I accept that. But I've got no patience for all this Orholam this and Orholam that. I'd rather go down fighting.
Lord Prism, Samilla Sire said, we have to hold the city long enough for everyone to escape. Holding the walls is a death sentence. Why not give it to us? We're dead anyway.
Their talking had given Gavin a few moments to think, to recover his balance. If I send you out there, you'll all break the halo. That's why you're here. Next year, I'll have to face you fighting for him. They don't put down color whites. It's not just your souls we're talking about here, it's your sanity. And you're right, you're all warriors. That makes you 10 times as dangerous when you break.
We'll fight in teams, each with a pistol and a knife. When we break, we'll do as the blackguards do.
When a comrade broke the halo on the battlefield, the blackguards considered them dead, and, indeed, it did usually render a person unconscious temporarily. The blackguards would check the eyes of a fallen comrade, and if the halo was broken, they'd slit their throat.
Except when a team's down to one, we end ourselves too, Samilla said.
It was, for some, a thorny theological point, though not without precedent. Was suicide a sin when you knew you were going mad and would likely hurt or kill innocents?
You are the Prism. You could make a special dispensation.
Future generations would believe that implied special dispensation is needed,
Talon Gim said, scowling. He had always had very definite theological views. Maros Orlos stepped forward.
Lord Prism, we've already sent to befreed all the drafters we knew were too far gone to be any use on the battlefield. What is the greater good here, that we do things as they've always been done, or that we save an entire city?
There was no contest, of course. Gavin was trembling.
I think such a sacrifice would honor Orholam. I will give each of you a special blessing as you take up this burden. I am deeply humbled by this act of devotion, deeply grateful.
That much was no lie. After making the decision to let the freeing class fight to the death instead of be freed on his knife, Gavin still met with each of them. He shrived them, listened to their concerns about dying, and blessed them. It was exactly the same as he would have done otherwise, minus the killing. But to Gavin it was entirely different. Usually he was so sickened by what he had to do that he couldn't give their words his full attention. He tried, he pretended, he knew they deserved his best. But today, he did it. They weren't really talking to him as they spoke, they were talking to Orholam. Gavin was simply an instrument to make their confessions easier than addressing an empty room. What they were doing was an act of devotion. It was an act of sacrifice. To others, it wouldn't seem that different than what some did every year at the freeing. It would end with a dead drafter who'd gone to death bravely. But without the burden of shedding their blood, Gavin was able to see it clearly for the first time. These people were heroes. If Gavin hadn't pulled one over on the whole world and on Orholam himself by masquerading as his own brother, perhaps the freeing would have seemed this holy every year. It was supposed to be something to celebrate, but Gavin had dreaded it. Always. Now, as he prayed with each drafter,
He could almost believe Orholm listened. Similasaya was the last. She was, Gavin was reminded, a woman whose beauty withstood scrutiny. Her skin, even in her 40s, was nearly flawless. A few smile lines, but clear and glowing, slim, stunning blue eyes against Atashian olive skin. Impeccably dressed. "I had an affair with your brother, you know," she said. Gavin froze. He knew that he, Dazen, had not had an affair with Similasaya, which could only mean one thing. She knew. "Sometimes a man likes to pretend that nothing has happened between him and an old lover," Gavin said quickly, "especially when it was a great mistake." She laughed. "I've wondered often over the years, are you just so good that you've never been discovered, or does everyone who could expose you have an ulterior motive for not doing so?" She stared at him, but he said nothing. "You know, Evie was looking at your wall." She said, "I don't remember Gavin being a super chromat. He shouldn't be able to craft a yellow this perfect." And do you know what she said after that? She said that Orholm must have blessed your effort, that it was proof you were doing his will. And everyone nodded their heads. Can you believe it? Gavin felt a chill. Gavin would have made a wall that would last a month and bragged it would last forever. You made a wall that will last forever and said it might last a few years. You just couldn't stand to make an inferior product, could you, Dazen? Someone who'd been drafting blue for 25 years would be pleased to see the order in this. Dazen was a perfectionist, so even though he could make his mask better with imperfection, it didn't match his personality to do so. "No," he said quietly. "I fought for your brother. I killed for him," Samila said. "We all did an awful lot of that," Gavin said. "I felt so betrayed by you, that you wouldn't even acknowledge me after what we'd had. I felt a glimmer of hope when you broke your betrothal with Karis. When I finally figured it all out, I still wasn't sure of myself. Gavin told us things about you, about what you would do if you won, and you weren't doing them. Was your brother a liar all along, or did you change? You were supposed to be a monster, Dazen."
"I am a monster."
"Glib, still. The snot-nosed younger brother with a quick tongue. I mean it." She looked at him long and hard, looked at the freeing knife that he hadn't drawn. "How well do you know yourself?"
He thought about the years, the goals he'd achieved, and the ultimate goal it was serving. "The philosopher said that a man alone is either a god or a monster," Gavin said. "I'm no god." She stared at him for one moment more, those intense blue eyes unreadable. She smiled.
"Well then, maybe the times call for a monster."
She knelt at his feet, and he blessed her.